Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Just a programming note, if we make you laugh and, as one person said, spit biscuit all over my car because Caddyshack scenes equal a bill being sent to you guys, we're not paying the bill, okay? We're not paying the bill to clean up your
car.
Shut
up, I'll pay it.
Shut up. No, Candy probably would. 7:39, Sheriff Chip Simmons from Escambia County is here with us. Sheriff, we were having a really interesting conversation earlier about the Blazer Academy program, which you've been, you know, your sheriff's office won awards for this program. And somebody had raised the question, well, could we not expand it? You know, almost kind of demanding that you expand it. And my answer was, fine, but, you know, how many people does it take? What kind of funding? All of that kind of stuff. Is there a potential to expand that program beyond what it's currently doing?
Well, I mean, we're obviously very proud of the Blazer Academy. I decided to do this a couple of years ago with just the young men's, and just to remind everyone, it's from 13, 14, and 15. That was the age that I felt like we could really hit as from a mentorship standpoint. And then the last year we did expand it to the female. We have a female mm-hmm. Blazer Academy as well, which we'll have at least one of each this year. And then I have been getting some phone calls about expanding it. Most of the phone calls I get are from other agencies wanting to know about the program so they can do it, mm-hmm. typically with the same age group. But we have been asked if we could do it for 18-plus-year-olds, and mm-hmm. then we have been asked most recently if we can do it for elementary school kids. I think the beauty of it is an age group, a targeted age group that they are old enough to understand some of the things that you're talking about.
Yep.
Now, I'm not saying that it's not scalable to elementary school kids. I don't know that the sheriff's office at this point has the capacity to expand it to elementary school. You have to get the kids there. You have to there's just some more difficulties relating to kids that are that young. However, I do think it can be modified enough, and if someone wants to take that on and do their own version of that, we certainly would support that. But to just call us up and say, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. I appreciate that because, first of all, it shows that the program that we're doing is having an effect.
There's a need,
and
has been
overwhelmingly successful. But I think what we're going to do is we continue to evolve our own program. Again, we have a male, we have female, and I'm not saying in the future we may not, you know, increase, you know, have a one-off type of a program for 18 to 21-year-olds, which I think there could be a value to that, and even reaching down into, you know, 10 to 12-year-olds. But I think at this point we have standards, and we're not going to do anything unless it's top rate. And right now the Blazer Academy has that 13, 14, 15-year-old target range is first rate, and we're going to keep doing that. But we'll be glad to help people with their own program, and eventually we'll probably again branch out a little bit.
Well, and, you know, that young teen vicinity, that middle school age, is really ripe because that's kind of like the beginning of when you can see kids going the wrong way. And, you know, you can get them early enough where you can kind of, they haven't hardened into some of those habits or those associations, and you can maybe make a big difference there. It's a leverage point in their age, which I love the idea. We've had unfortunately, we've had a bunch of bad things happen the last week or so here in Escambia County. Let's start with this. One was in the Peachtree Commons apartment complex area. We had a robbery and a shooting, but there's some weird stuff in this. This is Sunday, right?
Yeah, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, what happens and the information that we get, and we talk a little bit about if I say, you know, we're suspicious of the details, it means that we probably don't believe what they're saying. And that's the case here. This individual claims to have been shot, and yet he waits 30 minutes to call us, and then the information he provides doesn't make a lick of sense. Mm. And so our when they give me the update, I can tell by the look of my investigators, my investigative captain will come to me and he'll say, you know what, we don't believe a word he says, and we have really nothing to go on because it doesn't make any sense.
So the point where you don't even believe there was a shooting?
Oh, no, we believe there was a shooting.
Oh,
we
okay.
just don't believe the details were anywhere near what was actually relayed to us. And we get this, honestly, I would say we get this probably 30% of the time where someone will tell us, this is what happened to me. And then when we ask the questions, it's like, wait, you were going to Sunday school, and someone snuck up behind you wearing all hoodie and stuck a gun to your face and demanded money and somehow shot you in top of your foot. That's those types of things are they don't make sense.
You don't know, man.
Yeah, yeah. And
church is a hazardous zone.
Believe that, and I'm not saying all of them are like that, because clearly we've had some, you know, some tragic situations take place. But the case you're talking about was this individual. Well, first of all, why would you wait 30 minutes to call law enforcement when you had the opportunity? It's different if you're out isolated and you can't get to a phone or don't have a phone. But in this case, you decide to wait 30 minutes and say, oh, you know what? I have been shot. Let me call law enforcement. And that's the kind of stuff that our deputies have to deal with. So we get there. We have to recreate the scene. We have to follow up on some of the nonsense that they tell us. And there's really nowhere to go because they're not being truthful with us.
And you also get stories of, you know, like shootings reported that turn out not even to be shootings at all, right? I mean, that happens too.
Yeah, a lot of times people think that they have heard something. You know, shots fired in the next neighborhood, and then when we get there, it's fireworks or it's a car backfiring or something, or there's no indication. Now, we do have some that are legitimate. I'm not saying that we don't. I'm just saying that there are times when there are reports, social media reports, not other media reports, that there's shots fired in a certain neighborhood, and it's, oh my gosh, my neighborhood has never been like this. Now we got shots fired. No, you don't. You have fireworks. You know, or no, you don't.
Or loud
have
noise
this,
or
you
something,
that.
Right?
You know, you just never know. Now, again, we will certainly go, and we will certainly investigate the ones that are legitimate, the ones that actually call us with some, you know, information that makes a little bit of sense at least.
Speaking of actual shootings, we had one that took place on Potomac Drive on Friday, and you've made an arrest in that case, right?
Yeah, this is a tragic one. This apparently three people get out of a truck, walk up to this location where this 28-year-old female was, and there were others there as well, fire at them, then run back to the truck and drive by in that same truck and fire again. She gets struck in the head, and she's still at a hospital trying to recover. And then we had our investigators, again, doing a great job. They investigated it. They figured out that the truck was one that was stolen from Pensacola Beach the day before. So we broadcast the description, tag number, and everything else of that truck. And Pensacola Police Department got the information because we work so well together. They spotted the truck, around Addicts Court. They try to chase it. It runs, obviously. And then it ends up crashing. Three young males exit. They catch two of them. Both of them had a gun on them. One discarded a gun. The other one had a gun on him. And the one that had the gun on him, which was Ryan Seals, that gun actually was tracked and traced back to match the shell casings at the attempted homicide of the 28-year-old female. So, yes, we've arrested him for attempted homicide. We have another individual that was arrested. Pensacola Police Department arrested Kewan Whiting, and they charged him with some of the fleeing and some of the gun charges that were relating to him running from them. And we are looking for a third individual. We think we know who it is, but we're not yet ready to put his name out yet because we want to make some more conversations with or have some more contact with some people and have a conversation with him before we will put his name out.
And then we also had another one up in Cantonment, a little farther away, but this was Thursday night near Shepherd Street. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, we had a woman that was shot in the face, I believe, in that one. And then the odd part about that, it was just like a block far down the street. There was a stabbing that was, from what my investigators tell me, that was not related to the shooting.
Just
at all.
Coincidental. Okay.
That's what they're telling me.
Is there any? I mean. Anything holding any of these incidents together? Is it the same old story of one does bad retaliation, you know, people don't like the disrespect or whatever, or is it something else?
Well, no, I don't think that any of them are connected. I don't think that any of them are random, though.
Okay.
When you take a look at what causes these things, I say a lot that two-thirds of them are about drugs, money type relationship, and then one-third of them are domestic. And so I think when you talk about the ones that we've talked about today, you see you know, there's some the 28-year-old female, I don't believe, was the intended victim.
Okay.
I think that it was individuals that were at that house or staying at that house that were the intended victims, and I think that's what kind of got her caught up in it.
Last thing is, we had a very unsettling story about a guy who had put a camera in a shower or something, and then had run that to a phone in the crawl space. Is that kind of what happened here?
Yeah, basically that's it. He had worked a camera to a shower, and then he has a crawl space underneath his house, so he ran his phone to that camera, and then he was actually in the crawl space. Luckily, these kids saw the wire, and then they tracked it and traced it back to where he was. It was still laying underneath the crawl space, still attached to the phone. So he gets his phone out and tries to leave when he's caught. So this this weirdo is trying to watch kids take a shower. And so we obviously charge him up with as many charges as we can.
Goodness, the things people, it's just unbelievable. Let's try to end on a happy note. You guys dressed up your canines as Easter bunnies, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, Easter's obviously famous for bunnies, and our canines get a little jealous, and so they chasing bad guys and taking bites out of crime isn't enough for them, so they want to do the.
I'm glad they're not taking bites out of bunnies. I mean, yeah. I would think the natural instinct of some of those dogs.
I'd care if the bunnies stay clear of our canines. Right. I really would hope that they're able to do that. I'm not sure if they have a fondness for bunnies or bad guys.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, you give them choices. You know, see what they pick.
Well, they're deputies at heart.
maybe they could ask to suck the bunny's tongue.
Wow. Wow.
That's a callback. That's
I see what
callback.
You're doing there.
I didn't hear what she said. Thank
no, you.
You're
probably better off not.
Here and she,
yeah, the partitions
when
are
when
for your safety.
Close to the microphone Lama. Like that. Oh, yeah, I heard
Sheriff,
something.
Yeah, Sheriff yeah. Chip Simmons, it's Gambia County Sheriff. Always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for the time this morning.
You bet. Y'all take care.